The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I'm joined by David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, subtitled Why Flawed Logic Puts Us All at Risk and How Critical Thinking Can Save the World. David, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
It didn't save the American electorate from another Trump term, did it?
Unfortunately, it did not. And we're still going to have to postmortem exactly what happened because, again, a second Trump term. Once is an aberration, twice is a pattern. What we have known is that people like Elon Musk became super spreaders of election disinformation. On his X platform, over 2 billion people around the world viewed at least one form of election disinformation spread by Musk. What effect that actually had on the election long term, it's going to take us a very long time to work out. But it wasn't an accident that that happened.
And obviously Trump has rewarded Musk by allowing him into his presence, even at Mar-a-Lago on the night of the victory, very prominently in his presence.
Absolutely. And look, if we look at Elon Musk's patterns of tweeting, there's been a few academic articles on this, but he's always been a prolific tweeter. I'm still calling it Twitter. I'm still of that generation. But he changed his pattern to send more and more messages. He sent over 1,400 individual bits of election disinformation in the last two or three months. So he really stepped up the effort. And that was possibly to get this position with Trump. But he basically bought a $44 billion megaphone.
Now, maybe that was not his intent when he bought Twitter originally, because it has been a loss maker for him in financial terms, but who knows if it's political power he's after, possibly worth the investment.
And that's absolutely what a lot of analysts are thinking at the moment, that this is an investment in future contracts. So basically SpaceX and Tesla getting government contracts and things like that. But again, it's very hard to know what's actually going on. And it's also really hard to work out exactly what effect misinformation has had on the election. We still haven't uncoupled exactly how much of an effect it had in the 2016 election. We know it sways people's intentions to vote, but it's very, very difficult to unpack exactly how much. And again, Trump won the popular vote as well, which is quite a change. There was about 10 million fewer Democratic voters this time than there was last time. So it's very hard to unpack exactly what the consequences of all this is.
So you don't know whether the disinformation, which was pro-Trump, elevated their vote, or whether the disinformation, which was anti the Biden administration, kept the Democrats at home.
It probably did something of both. Now, you've also got to remember how this feeds into the international narrative. This is very much the outcome that people like Vladimir Putin wanted. And Russia invested a huge amount in creating that disinformation that people like Musk perpetuated out in the first instance. So we have to look at this in a form of geopolitical interplays. This is precisely the outcome that Russia very much wanted. And again, people like Viktor Orban in Europe celebrating that. And there's all the far right groups in Europe that are challenging different governments around this continent. They are very happy with this outcome as well. So from a Russian perspective, this is a very good investment.
So the bad actors will say, this works.
And it does work. Or they can at least argue that it works. Again, they have, strangely enough, they have better analysis of this because they invest so much in it. But they wouldn't invest this much in it if they didn't feel it was beneficial to them. It's going to take us years to work out exactly how much this swayed voters' intentions and whether it was a huge change or a minor change. But there is a reason that bad actors around the world invest in this kind of stuff. It was always Russia, but as we talked before, now China are doing it. So are Iran and to a lesser extent, India. And we're going to see this more and more.
Now, the question is, if any of the bad actors start targeting the Trump regime when it comes to power next January, because disruption works every way. It's not just your opponents initially who will be disrupted. The Trump administration also will be disrupted, because that's what they like to sow. They like to sow chaos.
Discord.
But the question then is the talk in the Biden administration, and indeed even among some Republicans in Congress, that it might be time to shackle some of the social media platforms. They've done it to TikTok. They might do it to others if they decide that this is inimical to the interests of themselves as politicians, or indeed the interests of their own families, their own children, whom they see maybe
Absolutely.
Destroyed or disrupted by this.
But under a Trump administration, I suspect that's a lot less likely to happen. For the sole fact that Trump has used social media as his megaphone for years. He is not, we have to think back to 2015, 2014, when he first started making these noises about being a president. He campaigned in the most unusual way, as in he used social media in to a massive extent. He still does. He has his own network, Truth Social. So I feel that under a more sober-headed, rational government, that might be a serious consideration. But I think Trump realizes the soft power he can wield through social media and create hard power from that. So I suspect that we won't be seeing any social media regulation, at least not being born out of a stateside consideration, for at least another presidential term.
Now, it's not just in the United States you get this kind of deliberate disinformation, which is a policy, I suppose, rather than misinformation, which can happen almost accidentally. And we're talking now about the flooding in Spain and Valencia and all sorts of conspiracy theories going around as to who might have been responsible for it, rather than simply climate change.
Absolutely. So in the wake of any natural disaster, people often seek someone to blame. That's a very human, very normal thing to do. And unfortunately, people often pick the wrong thing. So obviously the massive flooding in Spain has created great loss of life. There's a bunch of different conspiracy theories circulating, some of them blaming the government, saying they dismantled dams and they dismantled flood barriers. And some of them blaming the EU for doing this. Well, firstly, that's not the case. This has been taken apart several times by climatologists and by people involved in this, saying that these dams were disused, so that's irrelevant. And some of the conspiracy theories go more esoteric. Some of them claim that American government experiments have manipulated the weather. Some of them claim that this has been an attack from Morocco that's being covered up as an environmental thing. These are all false. They have no truth behind them, but they've gone viral on social media because people are angry, people are upset, and they're looking for someone to blame. The other side of that coin is that there's a great thrust for climate change denial at the moment. The current disasters we're seeing are exacerbated massively by climate change, which a lot of people still deny. So it's easier to perpetuate a conspiracy theory that someone did it rather than to accept what climatologists and scientists have been saying for years, that extreme weather events are becoming more frequent because of climate change.
Now, the various rumors, you mentioned a couple of them, the military attack from Morocco, untrue. The weather radars weren't working, untrue. There was no warning from the Met Service in Spain, untrue. And a lot of these things are totally provable, but they get traction before they can be discounted.
They get traction for two reasons. The first is they focus anger. People are very upset and they want to be angry. It's kind of cathartic for some people to be angry. And instead of saying this is a systemic failure exacerbated by climate change, and there's a lot of different factors, it's easier to want to have an anger towards someone. It's also very easy for bad actors to manipulate that, to set up their own narratives as well. So unfortunately, when people are very upset and very angry, their critical thinking shuts down to some extent. It's a hijacking of that circuit. And that's what we're seeing at the moment. So even though these are easily debunkable, you could go online and just check it out and find very quickly from reputable sources that none of this is true, that doesn't stop them getting traction on social media.
And one that might easily get traction is that the notion that the military were ordered to stay out of the Valencia region by the federal government in order to embarrass local government in the region, which ain't true. Local government are in charge of all of this and they have to call on the help of national government, which was ready, willing and able to go in.
And look, this again goes back to the fact there are different actors with different narratives they want to put out there and that people don't fact check. And this is something I think we learn a lesson from here when we will have our own extreme weather events or whatever. It's very easy to rush to blame. And that's where conspiracy theory and misinformation can spread. We have to be sober-headed in our analysis. We have to stop. And if something is making us angry or directing blame towards one party for something that's multifactorial, we have to stop and go, before I react to that, I'm going to think about it for a while and check my sources. If people spreading this had stopped to check their sources, they would never have spread it. But unfortunately, social media in particular pivots on getting clicks and attention based on the most outrageous claims a lot of the time. So information hygiene here is another topic we talk about a lot, is the idea of if you see something inflammatory, something that makes you very, very angry, it's worth stopping and going, is this deliberately engineered to make me angry? or is this true?
David Robert Grimes, author of The Irrational Ape, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.